Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our message today is the gospel reading for this Trinity Sunday from Matthew 28, 16 to 20. The Great Commission. I share with you verses 19 and 20 again of that reading. Therefore, going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep all things as many as I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days until the completion of the time. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear friends, life certainly can be chaotic, can it? Instead of all of the events of our days seeming to line up like one big beautiful symphony playing out a wonderful song, we often feel that we are pulled into a million different directions of things that are discordant in life, things that seem to have no connection with each other, and sometimes at the end of a day can sit in confusion and frustration about the pointlessness of a day. Such was the case with Larry. Larry was a father of three wonderful children. He shared a home with them and their beautiful mother, his adoring wife. But last year, Larry's job had disappeared in a downsizing of a company that had moved Larry to have to find a new job quickly, and he found one. The trouble was that for Larry, that new job meant that he was going to have to be out of town one out of every 4 weeks. So in the past year, that had added up to him being gone 13 weeks from his family. He ended up missing them so much, frustrated by how quickly they seemed to be growing up, how much he seemed to be missing because of all of that absence. In addition, his friends were constantly calling him, saying, "Hey, Larry, let's go golfing," or "Let's go to the gym and play some basketball." But time and time again, Larry was having to say, "Can't do it. I don't have time." And now those friends had stopped calling. During this past year also, Larry's parents both had become very ill. Larry's father had Alzheimer's. And not very many months ago, the family had decided that it was time that Larry's father be put into a facility that could take care of him in his fragile condition. Just last month, Larry's mom broke her hip, had surgery, now is in a rehab center trying to get her strength back and mobility. But there is no confidence that she will be able to go back home either. The only time Larry's siblings call, they're scattered across the country. The only time they call is when one of the parents is in the hospital. And then to top it off, people keep calling from church. You know, they call them the nominating committee. You know, that wonderful job of having to call somebody up on the phone and say, "Hey, we got elections coming up and the congregation expects us to have a slate of candidates. Would you consider, not that we really think you're the best person for this, but we need to fill the spot. Would you please do it?" That's what nominating committees do. A little cynical this morning, aren't I? Or they call up and say, "Hey, we got a work project this coming Saturday. Larry, can you help?" And time again, Larry's having to say, "No, I'm out of town. No, I can't do it." His whole life seems to be never matching up to all the expectations upon his life, and he just can't make it work. So on this Father's Day, he's sitting out in the backyard watching his all too fast growing up children running around chasing each other in the yard, and Larry feels distracted by his life. Because it just doesn't seem to make sense. It's just a little here and a little there and a little all over the place, and none of it seems to tie together. Life is just chaos. And he's burdened by the fact that there is no hope that it's going to get better anytime soon. Enter Jesus' disciples on the day of our text. For somewhere around 3 years now, they had been following Jesus. Wherever he went, they went. They spent a lot of their time hovering around Galilee. enjoying a relative safety and popularity that went along with being there in Galilee. It was almost simple there in Galilee, hard work, but focused. They would enter into a town wherever Jesus said they should go, and Jesus would preach and teach, and he would deliver people from their illnesses and from the devil. And Jesus and the disciples would just spend themselves on caring for people in a day. And then just when it seemed like things were going along really well, suddenly out of nowhere, Jesus would say, "Hey, we're leaving, let's go." And they would move on and go to another town. Who knew where they would eat, or if they would eat? Who knew where they would lay down their heads for sleep in a night? And then Jesus had done the unthinkable. At a time where the hostility against him from his enemies centered in and around Jerusalem was escalating, Jesus had made the choice to actually go down to Judah and to be right where it was most dangerous to be. But then they had experienced the joy and exhilaration of Palm Sunday with all the people shouting their joys and praises to Jesus, only to be replaced by the fear and the sorrow of seeing him die on Friday, only to have that all interrupted by the reports coming that the tomb was empty, that Jesus was alive. And now in these days since Easter, time and time again, whenever he chose, here, there, everywhere, whenever he wanted, Jesus would suddenly just appear and give them yet one more proof of his resurrection. On the morning of his resurrection, the angel had told the women, "He has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him." Jesus himself had spoken to the women on Easter morning and said, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So here they were in Galilee, just as Jesus had said. That sets up our text. The disciples weren't disappointed by Jesus in our text. For suddenly, probably in the same way as it always was, poof, he was just there. And they saw him. Matthew records that they worshipped him. But in this pre-Pentecost time, in this pre-outpouring and superabundant fashion of the Spirit time, these disciples were not just having a hard time living, they were having a hard time believing. And so Matthew records that some of them doubted. No matter how many times they had already seen him before during these post-resurrection appearances, turning them into eyewitnesses of his resurrection, no matter how many times they had seen it, it was still difficult to comprehend how this Jesus, who had been so bloodied and beaten, so utterly, thoroughly put to death on a cross, could now be alive again. All right. Can you imagine the distraction in the lives of those men, those disciples? Go here, go there. Crowds rejoicing, crowds cursing Jesus. Crowds calling for Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus alive. Jesus is with us. Jesus is gone again. He's back again. He's telling us to go to Galilee. When will this ever end? If their hearts were bent on controlling life like ours often are, we're to think, for life to work well, we have to be able to answer that question, where do you see yourselves in 5 years? If life is about controlling life, then they would have been reacting to life very much like Larry reacts to his life in his backyard on Father's Day. As life just seems to be a bunch of disconnected, isolated events that have no common thread, that mean nothing, that just leave us exhausted and spent without any real sense of purpose. But Christ was calling his followers to see life different, to see the common thread throughout all the different events of life. To know that grace is real, that sins are forgiven, that death has been defeated in the empty tomb, that heaven is secure, and that every single moment, wherever you are, with whomever you are with, is an opportunity for mission. So Jesus made it clear to his disciples what their lives were going to be about in the Great Commission. Let's think about those words. A lot of Christians have those words memorized, Matthew 28, 19, and 20, but let's think about them. Jesus began by saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Why? Because he had conquered sin, death, and the devil through his own death and resurrection. So all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Going. That's really the way it should be translated. Going. Lives of discipleship will never happen without going. And that word going really has the connotation of leaving. Leaving what's comfortable. Leaving what's familiar. And going into uncharted areas. Going. Going where life is not comfortable. Being wherever God has determined. Wherever God is leading. Going. Make disciples of all nations. This wasn't just going to be a Jew thing anymore. Jesus was for all nations, with people who hold all kinds of strange customs, speak weird languages. Weird because I don't speak them. You hear my cynicism on that one too. Speak weird languages and live all over the entire world, places that are hard for me to get to. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. We hear many in our day talk about looking for a true global community. But there's only one way for that global community to happen, and that is for all to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. Make disciples of all nations. How? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What the Jews had struggled with for so long was how this Jesus, this guy in the flesh, could be claiming to be the Son of God. For the great mantra of the Jewish faith had been, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." So if the Father is God, how can this Jesus in flesh be claiming to be God? Let alone, how does the Spirit fit into the midst of all that? That problem didn't go away. We spent 5 minutes using the words of Athanasius this morning as he was trying to offset Arius. Arius, who was denying that Jesus was truly God. We can thank Arius for making us have to recite those cumbersome words every year on Trinity Sunday. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What the Jews had so much struggled to comprehend and believe, Jesus now said would be the very central focus of the proclamation of Christians. That he himself was the Son of God. That he had been sent by the Father. And that through the Spirit would take those gifts of salvation and would change people from unbelieving dead people into being those who cling to God's wonderful act of grace in Jesus Christ. And all of that would happen in baptism, where the God the Father claims children, where Jesus Christ washes us clean, and where the Holy Spirit pours himself forward into our lives in Pentecost fashion. So that as the chosen saints of God, we can believe in God and serve him with our lives. And then follow that all up, not with innovative thoughts, but follow that baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit by teaching them to hang on to. The word means to keep, not obey. to hang on, to keep all things, as many as I have commanded you, the things that I handed over to you. So no matter where they were, no matter with whom they were speaking, these disciples knew exactly of what it was that they were going to be talking. They were going to be speaking of sins taken away on a cross, of life given through resurrection, of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who earnestly desires fellowship with all people of the world. So that by believing in the Son, through the power of the Spirit, we all might glorify the Father. And all of that was going to be done not outside of the realm of chaos, but right in the midst of all that chaos that we call life. And it is that mission that we have to go and make disciples of all nations that becomes that golden thread that ties all of these disjointed events of life all together in one perfect symphony. All of that came with a promise of Jesus. Behold, I am with you all the days until the completion of the time. We are never walking where Jesus is not present. He is the Prince of our life. He abides with us in the midst of His people who are called the church to protect us and to keep us and to energize us for service so that what He has asked is exactly what we can do with our lives to proclaim the gospel so that new believers will cling to Him for eternal life. That promise is true all the days. Not just yesterday, not just 162 years ago when the founders of this church first gathered together for church, not just back at the time of those disciples there in Galilee, or not just at the time when Athanasius was trying to deal with Arius, but all the days Jesus is with us until the end or the completion of the time. The eon is the word, the time. This marked out time. There is a definite time lasting from Christ's ascension until His return. And the purpose of this eon is for no other reason than to share the gospel. It's not for how many vacations we can chalk up. It's not for how great of careers we can find. It's not for how many Little League games we can attend in a week with our kids. The purpose of this eon is for the sharing of the gospel until the window of that opportunity is shut. And no one else can come to faith because the eon will have been finished. So it's Father's Day. And dads, whatever it is that you are hoping for, striving for, working towards in your life, begin with what is central. Today, and every day for that matter, is a day to make sure that your kids or your grandkids understand grace. That's what is of Jesus, grace. Let them see grace in you. Let them know about forgiveness of sin from you. Let them know of kindness from you. Let them know of restoration that comes from you. Let them experience your care. And all of the other stuff, all of the things of life that seem to be so disjointed, well, they are. They are disjointed things. But at the end of the eon, it won't matter. Yet for all of the stuff that we do between now and then, it all comes together in perfect harmony with our triune God as we share perfect harmony with Him, not just now, not just today, but for every day until He leads us into that eternity that He has planned. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it guard and keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.